KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. Our great friend Dave Petzl joining us, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial. So, Dave, here we are getting ready for the end of the first quarter, and many people are optimistic. Your thoughts?
Well, I am optimistic, and it's not just because I am optimistic, Kevin. There's a good reason to be optimistic. We are opening up. You and I have talked about these numbers before. People can be worried about how much money supply is growing, but there's a ton of money out there. And I worry about that, too, from an inflationary perspective long term. But the reality is right now, this is what we have in front of us, is the economies are opening up. We even hear places like Texas removing their mask mandate. We hear the politicians in California and New York. They're in trouble, not just because they're, you know, patting fannies out there. It's also because their constituents are sick and tired of seeing exactly the same case numbers, but they're in lockdown, and seeing the same case numbers in states that aren't in lockdown. Their economies are open, and they're booming. And the vaccines are working. Kevin, there's now 60% of our population, it's estimated by the CDC, that has had the coronavirus and had showed no symptoms, had it and tested positive, plus all the vaccines. We're up to 60% of the population that has antibodies in their blood. So that's an amazing number, and we're getting there. It's not, you know, with vaccines, we've got issues, but hey, we're getting around those, and 2 million shots a day are going in the arms of Americans. This is huge, and we now have about 70% of those over age 75 have at least one vaccine.
Yeah, but here in the state of Idaho, you still have a reluctance. There's a new poll. Half of Republican men will not get the vaccine. You're a big proponent of the vaccine. I heard last week on the show, you had a guy, and look, whether it's on Kevin Miller's show or Dave Petzl's show, people question the legitimacy of the vaccine, and they have fears. How does that impact us economically, if at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know how many people are going to say no, and that's their choice, right? It most certainly is. And that's what I love about our country at this point. We still have a choice on that. I want to have it because I want the green card, and I want to, as I like to say, run naked with scissors. That's what I want to do. I want to be free. I want to be done, and I want to not worry about this so much. And I don't worry about it on a personal level, but I also don't want to be irresponsible and spread it to my dad or somebody like that. So I feel really good about getting it. Others don't, and I like that from that standpoint. But, you know, we don't need everybody to have herd immunity, and that's the beauty of it. We're going to get herd immunity anyway out of this, and those people that don't get the vaccine, I think, are going to be limited in numbers. I think it'll be much less than people have estimated because, as they say, half the people are really questioning it. Well, but more than half the people are getting the shot. And as we get more and more data, we find out tens or hundreds of millions of people have already had this put in their arm. Nobody's died, and the side effects seem to be very minimal. My arm is sore. Okay, I can live with that. And that kind of thing is it gets out. So you can worry all you want, but the reality seems to be different as the vaccine has gone into more and more arms and studies have been done.
Dave Petzl joining us, the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. Don't forget Money Matters this Saturday, every Saturday, 8 to 10 on KIDO Talk Radio. But back to the economy, Joe Biden's stimulus package passes. We've had this great contraction in business. You've talked about this all this time, this great emerging awakening. The airlines said they're not going to be laying off people because Joe came through. But what about the economic impacts of this, they call it the $1.9 trillion bill that is just so enormous? Many of the things we hear, they won't be spent on things for 4 or 5 years. The thing. So, how does that impact our lives?
Yeah, it's mostly in very bad ways. To be honest with you, Kevin, it's not that it impacts people in a bad way because checks come, but now we have to pay that back, and it comes out of our kids and grandkids over the years. But more importantly, some of the stuff in there is just absolutely horrible. It pays back cities and states that have not ever fixed structurally the underlying problems. It allows teachers unions to still completely lord over public schools. And this is obviously an ongoing problem, Kevin, and I'm not here to say that teachers are bad. I'm here to say without any question, reservation, hesitation, that in fact the teachers' unions are bad. They're awful. They verge on evil because they will not teach kids. That is a serious problem, and it is not the teachers' problem. It is the union's problem, and now we're enabling them long-term. That is a real detriment to public education, and why I think that part of why I think this bill is more than horrible. It just puts a Band-Aid on terrible problems. That's a problem long term. That's why elections matter, and we have got a group of people that are bound and determined to absolutely spend us into oblivion. It's not going to come out currently. If anything, the economy is already juiced. We have 26% money supply growth in the last year. We've now thrown $5 trillion at Corona in 1 year. Inflation adjusted, are you ready for this? We spent less on World War II than $5 trillion, inflation adjusted. That's amazing. So in 1 year, we've spent more money on a virus than we did during World War II as a country.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's a better return on investment, I think.
I think you're right.
Let's take a look at what do you expect to happen in the second quarter of the year as more and more people, Joe Biden says, May 1st could be the day where every American could get the vaccination. Coupled that with July 4th, he's calling it possibly Independence Day. What does that mean?
It means he's trying to take credit for the vaccines and the rollouts and all that and somehow declare the world is safe because Joe Biden declares it. The world is going to be safe, period. It is if you're vaccinated, I believe. I don't know why we wear masks if you're vaccinated, but, you know, I guess you can't identify people, but I'd be willing to put a little green dot in my head or something.
You would be.
I would. I'd be willing to do that for a while. But the point is that nobody can declare anything other than this is what I'm being told by experts could happen, might happen. The good news about Joe is that he's not Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was out there flailing and answering questions about a virus that he knew nothing about. The people he was surrounded with knew nothing about because it's brand new and it has evolved. So Joe has come in on the tail end of this and looks calm and peaceful, and we're at the end of this. It's done. You just look at the numbers, Kevin, and literally it's just falling off of a cliff. We go down, down, down every day as far as hospital stays and deaths. It's just down every single day. This is going away. We're getting closer and closer to herd immunity, and I don't think we have to wait at all till July 4th, but that makes Joe a hero, so there you go.
But what does it mean for the rest of us as far as going places, big events, that sort of thing?
That's the key. As you know, I've traveled a little bit through this, but I'll tell you something. A couple weeks ago, was in Phoenix waiting in line for a bus to go back to the airport from the rental car place.
I heard this story on your show. Eight buses you had to wait
eight,
for.
8 to 10 buses, right. No kidding, and to wait there. Now, that was remarkable mass of people traveling during coronavirus, and the airplane was literally full. I mean, middle seats and all. So,
and you were all masked up.
And we're all masked up. And
for that whole flight.
For the whole flight. Yep. And so.
And you liked it.
And I liked the fact that you can travel.
You liked being wearing the mask.
I do
you
not love like the mask. I love the mask. Yeah. Yeah. So the only break you get is to take a sip of water. But here's the reality of it. People are finding out that the airplanes are really, really, really safe to fly in, that coronavirus has not been spread on airplanes. They've found that out, and people are busting to get out. They're not out there feeling like, oh, I don't care. They do care, but they're moving anyway because the fear is gone and the control is gone. So they can have their rules. They can say you can do this and that. But I'm telling you, when we traveled, it was absolutely fun to see all the smiling faces out on the hiking trails and on the golf courses. People are busting out. So the rules are going to be pulling on down, and we're going to see the economy literally explode. Now, we're going to see a little lower numbers as we move through this quarter, to your point, but we're going to see quite an explosion off the numbers in the second quarter. Why? Because that was our biggest contraction since the Great Depression. And then we'll have 1 year to compare to it.
So year to year, that's how we roll.
Yeah, it's that's why we're going to roll, Kevin. That's why Joe's going to preside over a red hot economy. And aren't we so proud of Joe? Well, there's nothing to be proud of. They've done nothing except have bad policies that inhibit our long-term growth and also have businesses continue to be under their control. That is not a good thing for business, but it will work just like it did under Obama because we're coming off of a low.
Our great friend Dave Petzl joining us here at the Petzl Center, Petzl Financial. We take a look at the state of Idaho, and I wrote an article the other day on our website. Development has to stop. Just has to stop, man.
Yep.
It's crazy. It's not going to stop. I don't know if the legislature is going to do property tax relief. I don't know how they can. I don't know how they're going to do grocery tax relief. It's the same old, same old.
Yep.
I just sit here and I'm thinking to myself, all these homes that are being built, all these roads that are not being built, when is that going to impact the quality of life, or does it really matter anymore? It's just...
It's a great question. When does it impact? It already has, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I always say that this is not my Boise anymore, and the world isn't. But the world doesn't revolve around me.
Well,
weird. I feel like it does.
I keep trying to recruit you to those yonder places like Meridian or Nampa, or, I mean, Homedale's growing.
I know. It's crazy out that way. It is crazy growth. But it is something you can't stop, and it already has impacted our standard of our lifestyle, if you will, not standard of living. It's impacted both, but one in a positive way. But our lifestyle has very definitely changed. And as far as young people being able to buy homes at these prices, they can't.
But let me, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to hit you with this. When I first moved here, I was renting a house in Meridian, $925 a month, $900 a month, sight unseen. It was the Lord. I went to it. It's right by the golf course over by the 10 Mile Albertsons. So I'm there with my two dogs, and the house next to me sold at one time for $184. And these are, 1,900 square foot houses, right? Three bedrooms, two baths, upstairs loft, two car garage, little backyard. That house is for sale now. I'm sure it's well over $400,000.
Yeah.
And you're talking in the last 8 years to go from a price of $184 to over $400,000, maybe $500. I mean, now, how does that relate to your beloved stock market as far as ROI on investment there, sir?
Well, in the last 8 years, as you well know, the market has gone up way more than that.
I will
at our next break here.
Yes.
I am absolutely going to look that up and where we were 8 years ago. But yes, it's more than doubled. The stock market has gone from below 10,000 in that time frame to over 30.
Right. We'll take that up in a minute, though. Yeah. This affordable housing crisis that I don't know if there's a solution. I do know that Dave Petzl will have it for us next. You're listening to Dave Petzl with Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. KIDO Talk Radio, our great friend Dave Petzl joining us here on Saturday, getting ready for the Saturday show. Are you excited?
I am excited.
You're going to be here with me, then you're going to be in an unknown location, and then who knows what second hour will entail. So back to the, I'm looking at these houses, and I'm thinking to myself, $400,000 used to be a big thing. Those are now $800,000, and you're talking about a growth within 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this has been crazy, and it has. It's so much money, people moving out of places. And this is what's sad, really sad about the $1.9 trillion that's been passed here recently, Kevin, because the states people are moving from to here have a very good reason to. They're high tax. They're so poorly run. They're so indebted. And now you and I get to bail those states out. So nothing changes. They're still run by the unions, in particular, the public school unions. And this is a serious problem to the education of our country, of our kids. It's not just how bad this state is run, but when we keep bailing it out, they don't make changes. And that's been an enormous problem. But all this money chasing here is really made it impossible, if you will, for many young people here to be able to buy a home. And drove those prices all the way through, just through the roof.
Well, and rent, too.
And rent, too. Absolutely. Yeah. Where do people live? In Weezer, right? In a rental in Weezer?
Weezer cotton candy or Weezer chocolate candy or the candy store in Weezer.
That's
all I know about Weezer.
Yeah, well, it's a good place to pass through.
I love Weezer. I'm going to pander. I'm going to be there.
It's too late. You already said you don't know anything about Weezer.
Hey, can I share with you something about Weezer?
Yeah.
Remember that big eclipse that happened?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Were you into that at all?
Totally. Totally went.
Really?
Slow. Yeah.
Okay. So this is the greatest moment of Kevin Miller in the history of social media.
Yeah.
Because you're far more advanced on YouTube than I am. So it's strange how it works. So the eclipse comes. We have everybody here at the broadcast center. Hey, let's go outside and see the eclipse. And really nothing happened. But myself and Mr. Sternberg, young Jacob, who used to work here, we went up on the roof and we started filming. And I started ripping the eclipse. And because we were ahead of everybody else, people east of the Great River caught on to that. And within 2 days, we had 20,000 views.
No way.
Yeah, it just skyrocketed. Now, I believe that I didn't know this, but at the time, Jacob kind of altered it to make it look a little darker than it was.
Oh, okay.
But all I did was rip the eclipse people.
How silly it was.
Right.
To get crazy about it. Yeah.
Right. But you go back to Weezer. Weezer invested a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of people didn't show up because remember, people were coming to Idaho and Oregon. Hey, it's the end of the world, but we have RV sites for you.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah. The only I have to say this because for us, it was a really magic moment. We actually found a place where it was
of course you did. Of course you did.
Yes.
Probably, some of these hills or trails that you do traverse.
Kevin, I do. I have this amazingly blessed life where I just, stuff happens.
Right.
And we turned this corner, and there was nobody there. They were all over on this other hill. And so this was a magic moment for my wife and I. And I'll tell you why. We just got up, and all we did was we drove up just past Horseshoe Bend.
Right.
Not very far. And I think we're far enough, I think we're far enough to get the whole thing. And all I'm saying is when it's the whole thing is way different, and I know it's something in my life that I've thought a lot about since.
Right.
Here in Boise, it was 99.9, right? It was almost full.
It was.
But 0.1 is huge. It's a big difference.
Right.
And to me, and I don't mean to make this spiritual, but it's kind of like we can't be God. But if there's even a drop of God in us, it's an amazing thing. And what I'm trying to say is that whole thing made us both feel very spiritually connected because it was different to be at a full totality and experience the universe in that way. It is a big difference between 0.1 and 100%. It's just 99.9 is not the total eclipse of the sun.
And here's the craziest thing about that. We went to Weezer to film it. That got 39 views. The solar eclipse video got 20,802 views.
I within got like, to hear this, see this.
Within 3 days, and that's just me yelling at people. It's remarkable.
That is remarkable. Right. See, you're a star. You didn't even know. Does YouTube pay you?
No, it's the corporation. It's always your beloved corporation. My master's at the corporate
your master.
Level.
They've been getting checks from YouTube for 20,000 views. That's awesome, Kevin.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome for them.
Yeah. But it says, well, I will be investing in you for the next YouTube production.
Hopefully you'll get the 20,000, not the 39 views.
That's correct. Yeah, exactly.
And of the 39 views, I think I was 35 of them. So anyway, our great friend Dave Petzl joining us. Dave, what's the future of media? And, Facebook, Twitter, Google getting more and more powerful.
Yep.
Conservatives being isolated, yet they still dominate it. What's the future of media?
It's a really good question. I'm hopeful, and I find this one of the more fascinating, important questions going forward for us. Now, I'm not an expert on media, and so nor am I a Silicon Valley connected guy. My feeling is from human nature, though, that if you have an audience like Rush Limbaugh did,
right,
and it was huge, and he could stand up to all of the pressure of that easily, he easily handled all of that. And
well, in the end, they kind of He had to alter things a little, even the great one. And not to diminish him, but the cancel culture is just, I mean, you have two forces here. And we deal with this all the time at a local level on KIDO Talk Radio, but you have two forces where you have the tech companies and then you have the cancel culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how do you have expression of ideas, even if they're unpopular?
Right. I know. And that's the difficulty. So what do I think is going to happen? I think that Parler is going to come back and they're going to hit hard and they're going to be better than Twitter. Why? Because they're going to be a free expression of ideas, which is what it should be. And it doesn't have to be right wing. It can just be free to express. And I think they'll find with the proper backing that they can sustain and do it. The problem was they were relying on all these companies, and now they're going to have to who want to censor them. So I think the next iteration of a Parler is going to be one that has its own, if you will, servers, cloud, all that stuff, and can handle it, and not be, if you will, pushed down by the woke crowd.
Well, the woke crowd, you got Amazon with the web servers.
Yep.
You have Facebook, Google, Apple. They pretty much control the high ground, Dave Pezzo.
They do. But I am optimistic that that will change over time. If you have people like Rush Limbaugh who managed to go through this for over 30 years and thrive, he was a king. He was amazing. He didn't just get by, he thrived. If you have a place like Fox News that can come out and open up a news channel and be the number one company, highly profitable, because you're an alternative to groupthink leftists, is an incredible statement. There will be more, in my opinion.
Dave Pezzo joining us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. So, again, we're wrapping up the first quarter. Any other thoughts on what we should look out for locally with local companies?
Well, Micron is in an interesting spot, and I know it's just barely a local company, but it's one we know about, right? It's one that people focus on and has had an enormously successful run here lately. But one of the things that's interesting out there, too, is we have a chip shortage, a microchip shortage in the world, and meaning it's slowing down car production. It slows down iPhone production. It slows down, if you will, Mr. Microphone production, right? I mean, because everything has chips in it. And so it's slowing down the production of all of these things. It has become a really big problem in the world. But that also means prices are rising for the chips that Micron makes. So it's a double-edged sword. They're going to be able to make a ton of money over these coming quarters because of this shortage, but hopefully they can ramp up production and meet that demand as well. That's going to be their challenge, is going to be on production and getting it right. And that is, I think that you look at these companies, you couldn't want to be another company more than you want to be a chip manufacturer right now.
Anything else we should be looking out for, Dave Pezzo?
Yeah. Any signs of inflation, Kevin? I'm always optimistic, and I'm certainly short-term optimistic on the economy and what's going on there. But pushing this much money into the system is going to have some ramifications down the road. And it's not just going to be housing prices in Boise. It's going to be pushed out in other ways. We have steel prices, copper prices, lumber, we all know. All these prices are double. And
last week on your show, you and Lee Joe going back and forth and talking about the houses, and then as you're referencing now, the raw materials for houses.
Yeah, exactly. And it is. And that causes all of these houses to go up in price. But also, then we think about that from how are we going to build out that infrastructure that you talk about all the time, and rightfully, Kevin, of that developers are really not paying for, right? Did Amazon really pay for all the disastrous traffic that they're going to have right around there? No, they didn't.
Right.
We don't see one new road being put in because of Amazon. We just gave up everything. Oh, we got to have Amazon here. It's worth 600 jobs or whatever it is. I get it. We have to have jobs. But we also have to have developers pay for the infrastructure to take care of the people that already live here. And they're not. So I think you're right on that. I think it's a good push. But those costs of building roads is going through the roof now. So All of those infrastructure costs are going to be borne by us as well. And so I think the development costs, to your point, need to go much higher because the burden is going to fall on the existing taxpayers and all of a sudden they wake up one day and they have the house that they just want to live in and die in is being taxed at $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, makes it unaffordable.
A lot to look out for. Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center. He's next from whatever location. Dave, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Money Matters with Dave Pezzo, KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Yeah, I hope I'm coming through loud and clear. Believe it or not, I'm on an ancient landmine, of all things, right? Landline. Yeah, you know, it's I'm up here at Lohman, and there's still no cell coverage up here. So thank you for putting up with that. It's just fun to really, if you will, get into the backcountry. I've always enjoyed that anyway, but it's getting away for a couple of days in the midst of COVID is a fine idea for all, I think. Hey, I wanted to tell you, too, that in the second hour, I'm going to replay last week, and I'll tell you why. It was a good one. It was a good one from the standpoint, I heard from several people, of being focused on the world is okay, right? And in a world that nothing seems to be reported that we're doing okay, that we're doing well, that's the world we're in right now, unfortunately. It's a world where we simply think and are told every day from every single thing, every single source, that the world is ending and it's not going to get better. And we live in a world that's completely upside down. A world where where right is wrong and wrong is right, and by golly, if you don't know that, then you just simply aren't woke enough. It is completely upside down. And what we have to try to understand is, as hard as that is on our heart, our feelings don't matter. Our feelings don't matter. They can't when it comes to investing. And that's really the point, isn't it? We're really in a circumstance where everybody feels it. They feel that their world is so wrong, it can't go up, that things have to die, that the whole economy has to implode. And they feel that. I don't blame them. I feel it too. But it's not true when we talk about how many iPhones Apple's going to sell next year. This is what drives corporations, innovation, the fact that the world is growing, the fact that we're coming out of a pandemic. The economy will grow, no matter how ridiculously woke we are, no matter how we are deciding that we have to have a certain number, check the boxes, you have to have, you know, Chinese women on your board, and you have to have a certain number of minorities, and you have to have people that they can't be straight. They have to identify with some kind of other identity crisis they have, whether I identify as a woman or what have you. We have to check those boxes. And if you think I'm making it up, just look at the NASDAQ's recent press releases. They're very concerned. We're not woke enough that we really have to go out and check the right boxes. This makes us feel so wrong and weird about who we are and what we are as a nation and as a world that we can't possibly see that things are going to go well in the overall economy, no matter how bad the policies are. It's never a waste of time to rethink and talk about that over and over and over again, because our emotions get back in our way all the time. It's important to get away, to dial it down. The amount of noise is, well, it's just very, very, very difficult. We all know that. But do we really think about it? Do we really actively try to dial back the noise, to get away from the news? The reality is, for most people, they just don't. They can't. They're addicted to the noise. And when we get into these periods, this is part of the reason why, of course, we have literally tens of trillions of dollars sitting in banks, checking accounts, earning zero. And that is the reason in my mind, because people would never make that choice. Well, I'm worried about inflation. Oh, so you're worried about inflation, so what you want to do is earn zero. Well, not for long. Oh, then the reality is you're planning on, if you will, God giving you a little whisper in the ear that now's the time to buy. No, I don't think that'll happen. Well, what will happen? I'll hear enough bad news that someday I'm going to wake up and go, now's the time? No. Plugging in and wiring in does not give us more clarity. It gives us more noise. More noise does not get us closer to acting well. You know, I have for decades, I would say years, decades now, done my 10 investment commandments, and I just want to encourage you. It's out there on our YouTube channel now. It's Petzl Financial on YouTube. It's only two segments, about 10 minutes each, and it reminds me, they're my commandments. They're not meant to be yours. You have to decide yours. But so you don't think that this somehow is easy for me or people like me to behave well when all others around you are in chaos. It's hard. It's always hard. And so those commandments are for me. I remind myself, I teach, and so it reminds me again at a very, you know, very high level reminds me. I've got to figure out how to say this thing that means so much, to not overtrade, to not think I know things that I don't know, all those things. And everybody needs those rules and needs to remind themselves how to best behave for them. Because that's what this is about. It's all about behavior. The markets are going to take care of themselves. Corporations are going to figure out how to get away from and how to be profitable, even with really bad politicians and a really woke world. Yes, it's upside down. And these things have happened before, maybe in slightly different ways. I don't remember being quite this woke in the 60s. And 70s, but I'll tell you what, politics was in chaos. Communism was on the rise in this country. Socialism certainly was. And we overcame that. And I believe we'll overcome this. They'll overplay their woke hands. And I just can't believe that people are all this far to the left. It's policies that don't work. It's policies that eat their young. And it's policies, unfortunately, that are driving so many people to make bad decisions about their finances. All right, I got to take a quick break. And again, we're going to be have last week's recording in the second hour, so I'm not going to take any calls today, but I do thank you if you are calling in. But we'll be back live next week to do it and take all your calls. All right, our final live segment coming up right after this. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you so much for joining us. Normally I give the number, but out of here in a few minutes, up here in the backcountry, if you will, on an old landline. I don't think I've actually held a telephone in my hand, right? Except maybe at the office, and that's not even a landline, right? It works off the internet too. So anyway, very interesting. It's fun to be away and fun to get out, because it really does add clarity in my thinking, getting away from the day-to-day noise. So I thank you. We'll be back live next week. All right. I am live now, but I won't be in the next hour. Again, once again, it'll be a recording from last week's show, talking about the things that in part, the things that are right in the world. I don't think we can remind ourselves that things mostly are right in the world, not wrong. We can't remind ourselves enough in a noisy, backwards, upside-down world. All right. I want to talk a little bit about this because, again, it's not to make predictions or anything like that. That's absurd. But we always have to be looking at things that are cheap and things that are dear when thinking about areas to invest in, possible areas to invest in, if you will, right? And so part of that whole process is you're talking to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and many, many other First Trust people are some of our favorites. But talking with them and thinking about what areas they're particularly encouraged by. Most of the folks, and this is where I guess, if you will, the trick comes in, and it's not really a trick, it's called experience, right? And when you get some experience out there and begin to understand that some people, most people, have nothing to add, nothing to say investment-wise, you can kind of carve through that, and you can find people that have a little bit of insight. And it's not that they don't have something to add. It's just that most people do not have the courage, depth, if you will, to actually step out and say something different than what is being parroted all the time. And the easiest thing that always comes at you, you can watch CNBC and see them do it every day, where they literally are bullish and they're bearish and they're bullish and they're bearish, depending on what the market is actually doing at that time. It's really kind of crazy. But they're parroting and just telling you the news. I thought, though, last week in one of our meetings, that there were a couple things that I thought were very, very interesting and I hadn't been thinking about, wanted to share with you. And that's to do with utilities. Now, I know of utilities that are really doing some things that are green, if you will, renewable energy, things like that, right? They're really, which really pays off for the company. And some of those companies have been growth machines, not income machines like people think utilities are, but growth machines because their profits are exploding because of what they're doing in green energy of all things. So that's very, very different. And so when they were talking about this with a broad swath, meaning virtually all utilities are to a degree now getting into these renewables and their profitability, their growth of the dividend may be accelerating. And that's always been the problem with utilities, right? They pay a decent dividend, but they don't grow it. They can't grow their dividend. And that does not attract stockholders at all. Of course, no wonder it doesn't attract them. Who would want to buy something that doesn't have growth in it? Because all you're doing then is hoping it stays the same, and we all know how well that works in the world. It doesn't stay the same, does it? Right? There's no way anything stays the same. It's either growing or it's fading. It's not the same. And so if we're talking about utilities that are actually on the growth end, so the short of it is this. Utilities were, in this analyst's opinion, some of the cheapest areas for two reasons. People are still looking at utilities in the rearview mirror, okay? I know that to a degree I am. I've been buying some of the ones that are growth, but I was not aware how many of them have a piece now that's growing and that's accelerating. So, number one, utilities in a rearview mirror means what? Means most people are not interested or thinking of them as a growth engine. Mispriced is what that really says. Second of all, is our concerns about interest rates that are rising, if you're thinking of the old utilities never raising a dividend, no growth at all, then that would be like owning a bond, right? Where you are also very susceptible to rise in interest rate. That is the problem. So we do have, if you will, a different area to be thinking about as we're going forward. If you're looking for income, I know that's something we're going to continue to do and dig in and try to find some more income sources in a zero interest world. Tough to do. We all know that. We know how hard that is. Income is tough. But you can't go out there at 1.75 on a 10-year treasury, watching rates go higher, and think you're safe. It's also an interest rate that simply doesn't work. can't work. It's below the rate of inflation. I hope you enjoy the second hour. I know I did. Have a great rest of the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.